Part 1. My little pretty one, pretty one. The town where my sister and I grew up lay in the shadow of Mount Tamalpais, not far north of San Francisco. The aging housing development where we lived, on Morning Glory Court, sat just off an exit of Highway 101, 8 miles north of the Golden Gate Bridge. Buses ran from where we lived to San Francisco, the bridge marking the entrance to that other world, though we also knew people came there to jump. But for us, the city might as well have been the moon. Our father had grown up in the city, North Beach, home of the real Red Sauce, he told us. This was where the hippies had once come for the summer of love, and where Janis Joplin had once walked the streets of the hate, and cable cars ran, and that crazy Lombard Street snaked past rows of pretty pastel Victorian houses, and where another Patty, Hearst, had walked into a Hibernia bank one day, a few years back, carrying an M1 carbine as one of the Symbionese Liberation Army. Later, rock stars started buying houses on the other side of the highway from where our house sat, but back in those days, it wasn't a fashionable place yet. The day would come when people built high walls around their property and posted signs alerting would-be burglars to the existence of their security systems. But those were still trusting times. Our yards flowed into one another, free of hedges or fences, so girls like us could run from one end of the street to the other without the soles of their kids once touching asphalt. People moved easily among their neighbors, and few locked their doors. Our house, number 17, was the smallest on the street. Two dark little bedrooms, a low-ceilinged living room, and a kitchen the previous owners had decorated with green formica and matching avocado green appliances, none of which could be counted on to function reliably. The living room was covered in wood paneling, an effect meant to make the place seem cozy, perhaps, though one that hadn't succeeded. Our parents had bought the house in 1968, when I was 2 years old, shortly after my sister's birth, the best they could manage on a policeman's salary. My mother said Marin County was a good place for raising children, though our father worked in the city at the time, meaning San Francisco. He was a beat cop then, not yet a detective, and knowing him, he would have liked it that his work took him a ways from home over that red bridge he loved. It was probably better that way, for a man like him at least, to be off on his own with the three of us tucked away in that little bungalow while he was off saving people. These days, nobody could think of building low-income housing in a spot like the one where our house was situated. The land that made up our development would be reserved for 6,000-square-foot mansions with swimming pools and yards with outdoor kitchens and expensive patio furniture. There would be 3-car garages, and the cars in them would be of European design. But whenever it was, the 1940s probably after the war, that the houses were constructed on Morning Glory Court and the neighboring streets, Bluebell, Honeysuckle, Daffodil, and my favorite, named for a contractor's wife probably, Muriel Lane, a premium had not yet been placed on proximity to open land and views. It was possible back then to have as little money as our family did and still find yourself in a house that backed up on a few thousand acres of open space. So that whole mountain was our playground, mine and my sister's. For the first 5 years of her life, Patty barely spoke, except to me. Not that she couldn't talk, she knew words, she had no speech impediment. She had strong opinions about a lot of things, in fact, not only dogs and basketball, but also, speaking now of her dislikes, foods that were red other than marinara sauce, clothes whose labels rubbed her neck, all dresses. She developed early on a hearty sense of humor, particularly concerning anything to do with body parts or bathroom activities. Burping never ceased to amuse her. A fart, particularly coming from a well-dressed woman or a man in a suit, sent her right over the top. But if someone asked her a question, and this included other children besides me, her kindergarten teacher and our own parents, she said nothing, unless I was there, in which case she'd whisper her response in my ear, leaving it to me to convey to the outside world, the world beyond the unit that consisted of the two of us, what her answer might be. Young as I was, I didn't know for a long time that other 5-year-old girls had a lot to say. I didn't know this wasn't how things went with everybody's little sister. When we'd go to the bank with our mother and the teller would ask what flavor of lollipop she'd like, Patty whispered her choice in my ear and I would speak it for her, green. She ignored it when kids called her Bucktooth because of her overbite, and on our street, if a boy came up and wanted her toy, she'd hand it to him rather than protest. Though if any of these boys had teased me about my outgrown clothes, my inability to hit a ball in our occasional neighborhood games, she would confront the offender, but silently, with one of our jiu-jitsu moves learned from our father. Once, when a boy took the seat she'd saved for me at a puppet show our mother had taken us to at the library, she jammed her elbow in his stomach and kicked him for good measure before magnificently sweeping me into the place next to her, all without words.